the way we explain our lack of power and our lack of clarity as servants of God and His kingdom is to tell ourselves that one day our lives will really catch fire. One day our faith is going to move mountains. True, we're not where we ought to be at the moment. But pretty soon, one day soon, it's going to happen. And I'm going to get much, much, much more done in the kingdom of God than I'm doing now. The way we justify this lack of clarity and lack of power is to tell ourselves that a new wave of revival will soon be coming, sweeping this part of the earth, a marvelous move of God, and we're going to jump in and we're going to do things we've never been able to do before. We're going to conquer those besetting sins. We're going to speak with boldness. We're going to throw our fears away, and we're going to turn this city upside down. No doubt, there is a wave of revival on its way. But our problem is not that we have to wait until it gets here. In fact, we don't make some changes in our lives now, we won't even see it when it comes. All that we need to be able to move mountains and bring down fire from heaven to the earth right now is here. Everything we need. If we will respond to the light we have already been given, the word that has already been spoken to us, with positive faith. Faith which is more than mental assent. Faith that acts. From Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Oh Lord God, instead of being satisfied that God is a shield and exceedingly great reward, says, Oh Lord God, what wilt thou give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven, and number the stars, if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This aging man, with an aging wife, who's never had a child, is told that he, through her, with her, is going to become the father of multitudes. He's going to have a son. And through this son, he's going to become the father of nations. Now for this vision, this promise, to become real in this man's life, something has to come from his side too. For instance, if Abraham says, We'll see what happens. He would never see a thing. Or if Abram said, Praise the Lord, hallelujah, but never does one thing to indicate that he really believes what he was promised. Nothing. We are told that Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Which means, Abram took hold of this promise which was given to him with his will, and turned it into substance by acting on it. Now we know he stumbled, he messed up, but he kept coming back, kept working on it, remained faithful, and ultimately the son is born, and Abram becomes indeed the father of a multitude through Isaac. What we're looking at here is positive faith. Faith that is open to receiving a word from God. Faith that recognizes that word as from God when it gets here. And faith that takes hold of that word and turns it into substance by acting on it. From John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two who heard John the Baptist speak when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Peter." Rock. Now remember, Peter, by nature, was very, very volatile and unstable. Everybody knew that Peter was unstable, including Peter. And so this word, this new name that is given to him, is a word right from God. People say you're unstable. I say you're a rock. But for this unstable man to take on the nature of this name that he's given and become what he's declared to be, he has to seize this thing, this word that's given to him, and turn it into substance by believing that he's a rock and acting like he's a rock. And as he does, he changes. If he doesn't take hold of this new name that he's given and do something about it 10 years from that day, everybody calls him rock and laughs. It's a joke. He's still unstable, still volatile, he still has a hot temper, he's still vain, he's still a coward. If he doesn't do something on his side. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Okay, here we have again a picture of a vast harvest, people ready to come into the kingdom of God, waiting for somebody to harvest them in. And over here, a little handful of laborers, nothing able to handle this tremendous harvest. And the message Jesus gives is, if we're going to have laborers enough to make it, to harvest this multitude, you're going to have to pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up and send out laborers. Whether we have those laborers or whether we don't depends on whether or not you pray. If you pray, you'll have it. Praying, you know, but then there's prayer and there's prayer. There's prayer which is really nothing but an exercise in futility. It's the mumbling of the words, the saying of the platitudes, you know, thoughts that sliver through our minds with no conviction and no action and no commitment and no urgency. But then there is prayer that grabs hold of the promise and refuses to let go of it and says, "I'm going to take no rest, and I'm going to give you no rest until you establish Jerusalem and make her a praise in the earth until it happens." And now, here they come, laborers from all over the place. Laborers, all we need, all we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Again, we have here a vision of what it really means to be in Jesus. If we're in Christ, in Him, if we're in union with Him, if we're crucified with Him and raised with Him, we're new creatures. Really new creatures. We're not what we were before. The old is gone. People take this vision sometimes and chew on it like bubble gum and spit it out and never change. Or they take this vision and they turn it into substance and make it real in their lives, in the lives of brothers and sisters, by hanging on to it. I'm in you, Lord. I'm a new creature in you. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what people say. I'm in you, and I'm what you say I am. I'm a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. And not only for myself, I look around and I see my brothers and my sisters. And I know their struggles. And I look upon them now no longer as bumbling idiots, like myself, maybe even worse. But I see them as sons and daughters of the King. Royalty, holy. Holy blood covers their lives. A Holy Spirit rests upon them. And seeing this, and clinging to this, and living in this, it begins to happen. It actually happens. And for me, one of the things that really struck me as to how this thing actually takes place was this men's retreat, which ended yesterday. Men on this retreat who have undergone changes that are absolutely frightening in their wonder and beauty. Just awesome words coming out of the mouths of men that have experienced development and change that is nothing but holy, nothing but holy. And to these very men, the Lord is expecting much, much more. I mean, and to each of us, as we undergo these changes, it's not like, here's a pat on the back, you're doing a great job, relax. But the more we experience this change, the more He drives us on. And He's expecting of us things far greater than ever before. Now every word that God speaks to us and every vision He gives us, in order for this word, in order for this vision to become reality in our lives, requires from our side a response that turns it into substance. Otherwise, it's nothing but words. And the response has to be faith, which is more than mental assent. I can mentally agree that Jesus is Lord and say all the right things, give all the right answers, spout the correct doctrines, and never be affected by that at all. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith that responds to a fiery word from God and meets fire with fire and sets our lives on fire by grabbing it, living it, acting it, moving in it. We don't have to wait for a new wave of revival. All the revival we need is already here. The Lord who spoke to Abraham, the Lord who spoke to Peter, the Lord who spoke to the apostles, speaks to us. All that's required is something, and it has to come from our side. Faith. Positive faith, as opposed to passive mental assent, intellectual assent, whatever you want to call it, a believing with the mind but doing nothing about it. We're talking about a faith that gets up and says yes to what God says and acts in it. Immediately acts in it. Positive faith, first of all, is faith that is open to a word from God, willing to hear something from God. In our nature, we don't want that. We'd rather have somebody tell it to us. We'd rather read it out of a book. It may come out of a book, but we want it second and third hand. It's safer that way. When the Lord spoke at Mount Sinai, people said, oh, please, no more. Talk to Moses and let him tell us. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield and your reward. But Abram said, oh, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Number the stars if you're able. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abram was open to a word from God, willing to be spoken to. Now the same God who spoke to Abram and spoke to the apostles speaks to us. Personally, I believe that in the last couple of months he's been speaking with tremendous power through many, many different mouths in this place. Many mouths. Very clear word. A word of promise and a word of command, but a clear word. And the question is, am I open to a word from God? The Lord has been speaking to us. You know, and the question we need to ask, am I open to a word from God? Am I willing to hear him speak? Am I prepared to act on what he's showing me to do? No matter what it is, am I really open to this? Am I listening with my heart? Secondly, positive faith is faith that recognizes that word as having come from God when it comes to us. One of the two who heard John speak, followed Jesus. His name was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you're Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Rock. I'm giving you a new name, Rock. And with that name, a new nature, a new heredity, a new work to do, and a new life. Peter received that new name as a word from God. Peter says, okay, you say I'm a rock, so that's what I am, that's how I'm going to live. The Lord who spoke to Peter is speaking to us too. And he's calling in many of our lives, in all of our lives, for some form of repentance. And he's calling in all of our lives for us to wake up and see what he's showing us and do what he's calling us to do and come out of it. You know, it's either all for the kingdom or nothing. We can't play church. What do we do with that word? Do we receive it as a word from God, or do we say, oh, that lady's crazy, you know, and so we dismiss it? Well, that guy's just a little emotional, and we dismiss it. Or I've heard that since I was a kid, and we dismiss it. And so we allow a word that is coming to us from God to slip on by again and again and again. Or do we take this thing and acknowledge this word that is coming personally to me, to each of us, and say, that's from God. And immediately bow down and worship. 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 Positive faith is faith takes hold of the word that is given to us and turns it into substance, into reality, by acting on it. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Do we hear it? So now we pray. But how do we pray? Do we exercise ourselves again in futility?
Or do we take that thing and work with it and do something with it, even if I don't feel like praying, even if I don't feel I have any faith? That's your command. That's what I do. Lord, raise up laborers for this harvest. Raise them up. I'm not going to give you any peace, and I'm not going to take any rest myself until you do. We have 5 people in here who are willing to do it. 3 people in here who are willing to do it. Or even 2. You don't have to. And the vacuum left by any who want to forever go on and not obey will be filled by laborers for the harvest. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she, is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, are we going to read this passage for another 10 years and be frustrated by it? Or are we going to turn it into substance by faith and living? I choose to regard myself no longer from the human point of view, but as a new creature in Christ. And I choose to look upon my sister and my brother no longer from the human point of view, picking at them all the time and seeing where they're wrong and what's weak about them, but now looking at them as new creatures in Christ who are struggling as I am. The old has passed away. It's under the blood. The new has come. The Spirit is here. And as we do this, we will see changes in our own lives and the lives of those around us like we've never seen before. We don't need a new wave of revival. Praise God for every wave of revival that is still to come. Maybe there'll be one more. But all the revival we need is already here. The Lord is here. The Spirit is here. His resurrection life is here. The power to overcome evil is here. If we will respond to the Lord who stands in our midst today, speaks to us, gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink, with positive faith. Faith that is open to hearing him. Faith that acknowledges it when it's a word from him. Faith that takes that word and turns it into substance by acting on it. Now we're going to take some silence, and allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us individually. And whatever he has to say, to make it clear, and if he's calling us to repentance, to do it. Calling us to make some reconciliation with someone, decide to do it. If you need to come to the altar, do that. Somebody will pray with you. But let's just take some time and let God speak to us and move on what he's saying. Father, we thank you and praise you for the glory that is in the face of your Son and for the presence of his Spirit on this earth, among brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, all over the earth, including here. And we ask that you'd help us to turn from whatever distracts us from seeing and worshiping that glory. We ask it in his name.